so? You finally saw Civil War?
After, like, God knows how long. Great movie, though. Everybody like, T'Challa.
You mean T'Challa the movie, because that's
T'Challa slash Spider-Man the movie. That's why everybody went to go see it.
Spider-Man was dope. I didn't know he was going to have that big of a role.
I didn't even know that they were going to show him in his house.
Oh, yeah, I think that was an extra addition, too. And I think it also does a good job of leading into a Spider-Man movie, because they got the rights to Spider-Man now, right?
Yeah, that's why they named... See, Marvel was slick. They named their Spider-Man movie Spider-Man Homecoming.
The one that's coming out?
The one that's coming out, yeah. It was just saying that as a sneak disc, because they finally got it.
Oh, I never would have put that together.
Oh yeah, it was pretty funny, because I was like, okay, now they got it. That means no holds barred. They're gonna do everything from, you know, Uncle Ben's death leading all the way up to the Sinister Six and all that, and then Spider-Man's gonna be in like Infinity War. I mean, sky's the limit for Spider-Man right now, to be honest.
So they basically already threw him out there. They may as well. They can literally do what they want.
Yeah, I think the fighting on that scene, that main scene when all of them were fighting against each other, was probably one of the best parts in the movie, because they truly captured, like, to me, their fighting techniques, their styles, their banter back and forth, their teamwork. It was amazing, because I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, man, all of these years I spent reading comics and seeing them, actually having to visually do this in my head, to actually watch them do it on screen and not even miss a beat. Like, Spider-Man, I don't think people understand how dope Spider-Man was. It was just crazy to me. They just completely nailed it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I honestly, some people were like, ah, Spider-Man was okay. And I was like, I don't think you grasp just how cool he was on screen. He didn't just fight one person. He fought, like, everybody on the team individually. He fought Winter Soldier and Falcon. He fought Cap. He fought Scarlet Witch. He fought Hawkeye. I mean, Spider-Man had his moment with everybody. He had great interactions with the characters. He was spot on, from Peter Parker out of the costume to Spider-Man in the costume. Didn't let me down one bit. I loved it. All his scenes were just amazing. All I could say was they nailed it perfectly.
I'm sure there's, like, plenty of people that are going to comment, like, oh, during the Civil War, Spider-Man was in 16. That didn't even bother me. I was just like, Spider-Man's here.
You know, I think when when they did the big reveal that Spider-Man was going to be in it, you know, it was like, oh, man, it would have been dope to actually, you know, be surprised. But I don't think Spider-Man wasn't the actual surprise of the actual characters. Mm-hmm. To me, the surprise was Giant Man,
yeah. Giant Man was the one for me.
That was the biggest surprise.
I think the reason they showed Spider-Man early was because of Batman versus Superman. You know, they were like, oh, they showed Wonder Woman. Man, that's going to get everybody to keep rush to go see that movie. And then Marvel was like, well, I guess we can go ahead and tip our hand. Go ahead and run the clip with Spider-Man in it.
But at the same time, Marvel, they still had more tricks up there. So they're like, right, we can show Spider-Man, but you still got our hands.
Right, exactly. That's the point. They gave you Spider-Man, but they had Scott Lang. But Hank Pym was always both. He was Spider-Man. I mean, not Spider-Man, but
Ant-Man and Giant Man.
Yeah. So, you know, when he became, because when he said, all right, you know, if I rip in half, whatever, and I was like, what is this fool going to do?
That's what I said, too.
And then he did, I was like, oh, snap. Because I did not see that coming at all.
That one caught me with a left hook, too, because I was like, okay, what is he going to do? Like, jump inside of something, try to pick something up in his small form?
I thought he was going to shrink back down to that, like...
Yeah, I thought he was going to go subatomic or something like that myself, and then... So I was like, you know, Giant Man was on point. One thing that had me hold my breath, though, was when War Machine got hit by Vision's laser.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, they're going to kill Rhodey. Don't kill Rhodey, because War Machine is one of my favorite characters. And everybody in Iron Man's camp is probably some of my favorite characters. But I was like, okay, going in, I was like, they're gonna kill somebody, they're gonna kill somebody. And I was like, man, Rhodey got hit. I was like, he's gonna die, he's gonna bite it. But right when you checked his vitals and his vitals were good, I was like, okay, sure. Whatever else happens to him outside of this, I'm good now. And you know, they paralyzed him, and I was like, okay.
I thought the Vision was dope too.
Yeah, Vision was OP. Like, you saw how powerful he was in Age of Ultron, but you didn't grasp just how powerful he was until this movie.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell some of the Avengers fear him. Like, he's their friend, but they also fear his abilities. Like, he's not somebody you want to fight. Like, Hawkeye,
who walked through Giant Pinch, just like, someone threw me. Something has gone inside of me.
The comedy, man, the dialogue, like, I don't know how they seem to nail that every single time. And the timing is always, it seems like it's right, it's perfect.
Right on time.
The comedic timing is crazy.
And honestly, Ant-Man and Spider-Man really had that comedic aspect to it. Especially as soon as I saw Ant-Man get out of the van, I was like, yes. I was like, he's the one who will keep it light on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with Spider-Man. Like, he did the same thing. Like, everything was really, they wore the situation very loosely. They knew it was urgent and serious, yeah, but they wore it loose. So I like that.
How do you guys think they did with the overall story?
Overall,
having read Civil War.
Oh, you're doing yourself a disservice by not reading Civil War.
Well, I'm just saying, like, having read Civil War and then actually seeing it played out.
I think they did really well. I think the reason they don't call it the Registration Act like they did in the comic books was because the Registration Act included every single superhero in the superhero community. The Accords, I looked this up, only meant a specific group of people, like a small organization. That's what the Avengers were anyway. So I was like, okay, they're calling it the Accords and not a Registration Act, because a registration pertains to a wide audience of people. Accords pertain to a very small, close-knit, private faction.
And looking at how it led into, like, the actual Accords or the Registration Act, looking at the comic book big explosion, there's usually something big happen and a lot of people
and I
die.
Love how they did that, though. It was an explosion at Lagos that triggered them to want to police the Avengers, which was the same thing that happened in the Civil War thing. But in the Civil War books, it was a much bigger explosion and a lot more people died than just, oh, five or six. But I like seeing that they brought Crossbones or Rumlow back, which I was like, okay, they're going to close the circle on that, because I was like,
wait, which one was Rumlow?
The guy wearing the Crossbones.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Punching cap. I like seeing Scarlet Witch being a more active member of the team. I like seeing, like, pretty much all the interaction between the characters. You could see character development there. And honestly, I like seeing Bucky again, because in Winter Soldier, he was lit. Just, he was...
Shoot to kill,
yeah, everything. And just the way they had him in here and they explained he had trigger words, like those old spy movies did, and I thought that was just a great execution. Now, the villain, the real villain, Zemo,
yeah.
I'm not going to lie, he really just pissed me off every time I saw him, because he was just like, oh, I'm going to break him up from the inside, all because of such and such. The Avengers just went home, and I was like, did you bother to ask them? Did you send a smoke signal? Did you wave? No, you were just like, there they go. And I was like, this is Captain Butthurt over here. I was like, I ain't got time for all that. But, you know, looking at it and then trying to pick whose side I was on, you really couldn't pick somebody's side, because it was like watching family members fight amongst themselves. And I mean, honestly, I saw some of my favorite characters and I was like, oh, I'm gonna be on this guy's side, but I want to be on Cap's side. And I was like, well, I can't, let me just sit neutral and watch the movie. I got a lot of friends who go way in too deep with it. They were like, well, Winter Soldier killed Tony Stark's parents, shouldn't he want to beat him up? He was like, well, he wasn't aware of his actions. He was the gun, and the other and Hydra was the trigger. They were the ones who pulled the trigger, and they were like, well, would you still take Bucky out? And I was like, man, this could go on for forever. But honestly, looking at the whole thing, it centered around Bucky, and Bucky really seemed to be the victim of everything. And stepping back and looking at the movie as a whole, it's about choosing your friends over your family. You know, where, like, when it's all said and done, who can you trust?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just well executed. Kudos to the Russo brothers for that. And I'm glad that they're doing Avengers Infinity War too, which they are renaming. It's not going to be Infinity War, but I'm glad that they're sticking around, because they signed on to do like four more movies. So,
and I think they didn't make it easy to pick a side, if you really think about it, because especially when you got towards the end and you found out what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, if you're on Captain America's side, and then you find out what happened, you're like, oh, well, wait a minute, he did that to him.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to jump on his side, but
mm-hmm.
then, you know, like, because he was on this side and the government has a tendency to kind of always mess things up, and mm-hmm. the fact that they were so blinded by policies and procedures that they didn't actually see what was happening.
Exactly. It was more debating and political stuff going on. Basically, political stuff going on rather than action. And I liked that about the Avengers. Like, I see Captain America's point. Like, the safest hands are our own, because we can get there. We can respond on the fly. We don't have to wait for somebody to say, oh, help me. We can already be there as they need.
Yeah, we don't even have to worry about paperwork.
Exactly.
We don't have to worry about somebody saying, hey, hold on, I gotta get clearance first. We are already on top of it.
Exactly. And then you got Tony chose his side out of guilt because of the lady and her son. He was like, oh, no, we need to be held accountable. And I was like, you guys are held accountable. What happened to her son is called collateral damage. You were trying to save an entire city. He just happened to get caught in the crossfire, but you had nothing to do with it. If he was in trouble, you guys evacuated the city in Age of Ultron, remember? Because Wanda, you know, pretty much influenced everybody to leave the city because something was about to happen. So, by that logic, why should you feel guilty? You did everything you could. So, my thing is, she pretty much messed him up. If she hadn't got all butt hurt and, you know, guilted Tony Stark, he wouldn't have chose. I don't think he would have chose to sign the Accords. But at the same time, he also made a good point about, if we don't do this now, it'll be done to us later. It goes back to the Watchmen comic books. Who watches the Watchmen? Who is in charge of the heroes? Who saves us from the heroes in case something goes wrong? Now, that's all well and good, but we trusted the Avengers to save us in New York, Sokovia, Washington, D.C. They seem to have been doing fine then, so why police them now? And it's just like Cap said, agendas change. I mean, you get somebody corrupt in there, and they're like, oh no, don't go and save these people from a burning building because it conflicts with our political interests. What? I mean, that's not what Captain America does. It's just like when Captain America was created, the scientist who created him simply said, no matter what happens to you, just stay who you are, be a good man. Same thing Peggy said, plant your feet and tell the rest of the world to move when they're telling you to move. Captain America is incorruptible. He is purity incarnate. So, I mean, he inspires people. I mean, that's why he's the leader of the Avengers. And I don't think the politics and the mindset of everybody around him could comprehend that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a guy who's fought in World War II. He's
more wars than you can count.
More wars than you can count. Every battle. Don't you think he would have considered all that? I mean, the only people who were overseeing the Avengers before the government was S.H.I.E.L.D. And S.H.I.E.L.D. was pretty much providing them funding. Nick Fury was pretty much in charge of the Avengers. He was the leader behind the leader.
The Black Panther, though.
Yeah. T'Challa. T'Challa, the movie, was good. T'Challa, the life story of Wakanda. I mean, that secret ending in Wakanda, I mean, you know you gotta be a somebody when your mascot and your secret identity is sitting in the middle of your kingdom.
Well, you saw how he pulled the mask off?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that, like, it was cold-blooded, man. Like, he was agile. He was light on his feet. Mm-hmm. Like, he was everything that
flat. He ran 50 miles per hour. He ran at the same speed, if not faster.
That blew me away.
Than Captain America and the Winter Soldier. And then he went hand-to-hand with both of them.
And even fought Bucky without his suit.
And fought Bucky without his suit and still beat Bucky. Bucky had to run. He had ninja out of there. Because he knew T'Challa was coming.
Yeah, I wish I could remember that line. Do you remember that line he said in the car?
He was like, because of your friend, I wear the mantle of king now, too. But I could ask you this as a warrior and as king. How long do you think they can keep your friend from me?
Normally, the king gets first, like, yes.
I was like,
5 minutes.
Blooded. He did drop the mic.
That was
then after that, he was like, And a lot of people don't understand this. Black Panther can essentially do whatever he wants anyway because he has
diplomatic
immunity. That was black privilege.
That's right. Black privilege. Diplomatic immunity. They even say it in the comic books. If you go back and read any of the Black Panther comic books, every time he comes over here with the Avengers and does something,
it don't matter.
It doesn't matter because diplomatic immunity. He even, and they asked him, they were like, why don't you ever, you know, mention your diplomatic immunity? He was like, why should I? He's like, why should I? He was like, I'm a king. I go where I'm needed, and I help the people whenever I want to, whether I'm immune or not. He was like, I'm still going to do me. And I can't wait to see T'Challa with the Avengers.
I can't either. I can't wait to see the Black Panther.
I call him T'Challa. I
need to respect that king.
That's right.
I can't wait to see the Black Panther movie. That's what I'm looking forward to.
They said it was going to be, they got a black director for that.
Coogler, right?
Yeah. And they're still casting for it. They are still casting for that movie. They got a good bit of the of it done, but they're looking for, like, extras. But so far, this is something else I discovered, too, watching the movie. The sound, the music, and all that other stuff, very reminiscent of those old 90s spy movies like the James Bonds and stuff like that. But the people who do the sound for Captain America also do the sound for Star Wars. Lucas Audio does the sound for all the Star Wars movies and all of the Marvel movies now as well. One scene that I really liked, it's really small, and a lot of people, you know, don't share my opinion, but my favorite scene is when Hawkeye comes to get Scarlet Witch out of the Avengers facility, distracts the Vision, and then she ends up using her powers and taking out the Vision. I don't think people understand just how powerful Scarlet Witch is. How many times did she, like, in that major battle scene, how many times did she save everybody from a major hit? She stopped Black Widow. She deflected Iron Man's stuff. She flung a War Machine away. She grabbed Black Panther and threw him into that walkway. She is very powerful. Extremely powerful. I want to see just how powerful she gets in Infinity War.
I thought she sent Vision to the other side of the Earth.
That's what I thought, too. When she drilled him into
the Earth. Yeah, I thought he went straight through the Earth's core and came through China, right?
Yeah, I wanted Hawkeye to just be like, damn.
Yeah.
It's definitely time.
I think a scene that I didn't think I would like as much as initially when I saw the trailer was the fight scene between Bucky and Iron Man and Captain America.
Yeah.
Until I had the chance to see the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in all honesty, I mean, Iron Man, to me, has always relied on his suit and less on hand-to-hand combat. And I know Captain America actually taught him otherwise and said, yo, you need to know hand-to-hand combat. But just to see him go toe-to-toe with Captain America and Bucky, that scene was better than I even imagined.
Yeah, even though Iron Man lost, I was sitting there like, bro, you fought two super soldiers at the same time by yourself. And honestly, it was painful to watch for the most part. Right when I saw Bucky get his arm blown off, I was like,
that was cold.
It's really, exactly.
That was cold.
As soon as I saw it too in the trailer, when I watched the trailer and I saw him like pulling on his arc reactor, I was like, now what if he just unibeams, like fires his blast through his chest and blows his arm off? And sure enough, And then Friday was sitting there reading Captain America's fighting moves. I was like, what?
It was a great movie, man. From the opening, mm-hmm. when, you know, they set it up with, you know, that whole scene and all the action there, until the story, and then, you know, the dialogue there and establishing, like, you know, the basis of the movie,
mm-hmm.
and then even having little scenes in between, man, like the chase scene,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they finally found Bucky and hunting him down, like. They really did a good job of keeping you entwined in the movie throughout. Like,
you didn't get lost either.
No,
you knew what was going on. There was a sense of urgency, and you were always sitting there wondering, like, okay, what could happen next? What is around this corner? What about the gravity of this particular decision that Captain America makes? Like when they were at the facility in Berlin, and Tony was telling him about, you know, just go ahead and sign the accords, we can make the last 24 hours legit. I thought for a minute Cap was going to sign it, because I could see Tony's point. He's like, you know, and what Black Widow said, it doesn't matter how we stay together as long as we stay together.
Well, it looked like he was going to sign.
He was.
Until Tony said something.
If Tony would have just shut up.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just sitting there. He was going to sign. Everything was going to be cool. And like he said, he can make amends to this, you know, file injunctions and stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's true. He can, and everything will be cool. But he was like, yeah, but we got Wanda, you know, locked up. I want Rhodey to come in there and be like, nigga, really? Really? We were rock and roll until you opened your mouth.
Yeah, and then just even the, like, another thing that I think gets lost is that, at least for me, I'm thinking the movie is about this one thing,
mm-hmm.
and then at the end it's not about them at all,
mm-hmm.
and that was like the whole it was a twist, and then, you know, it was really about him seeking vengeance,
mm-hmm. but breaking up the Avengers,
right, and then, you know, and then wondering after it's all said and done, like, did he really do it?
And he was like, yeah. Like, essentially, he drove a line down the middle of the Avengers. And at the end, I'm glad everybody reconciled. But I don't think Cap and his squad will ever pop back up on radar again, especially with everything going on right now. And then when I saw General Ross get involved, I was like, oh, he's already biased.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, he was chasing the Hulk for years. I was like, oh, you can't trust the word he says. I thought he was going to be, you know, one of those X factors in there. And I was like, man, this nigga worked for Hydra. He worked for Hydra, but he didn't. But,
Well, I know, as soon as it was over, I was just sitting there like, wow, okay, I just can't believe that movie was really that great. Like, what was, like, your feeling, like, when it was over, Chris, like, how did you feel?
I was just like, dang, this is a hot movie.
Yeah.
It's more so for T'Challa. But overall, I was just like, I was more so on Cap's side since the beginning, because reading the book and then watching that, I was like, I'm not much for, you know, having people look over my shoulder each time I do something and tell me, no, don't do that, do this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like them having that, that insight basically policing you.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I don't think the Avengers needed policing in the first place. They were
doing fine.
I consider them like a counterterrorism unit, if anything. I mean, they do what they got to, and I mean, they do it within the interests of the American government.
And at the same time, I did understand the whole, yeah, sometimes gotta keep an eye, make sure that y'all are doing stuff that's legal,
exactly.
And not something that goes against everybody.
And my thing was, what was the government going to do without the Avengers anyway?
That was a good question.
Create their own superhero task unit.
They're
going to
have that discount Suicide Squad. That's what they're going to have.
Basically.
That X-Force. Great value.
X-Force.
I know, right? But honestly, I'm thoroughly satisfied with the movie. At the end of the movie, I just wanted more. more.
Yeah.
Like, I was still high off of it. I was like, y'all got any more?
Y'all got any more extended scenes? Can I get the Blu-ray right now?
I know, right?
That's how I felt. Like I was like, okay, I'm ready for Black Panther now, and I'm ready for Spider-Man now. You know, I don't want to wait and wait and wait and wait. Even though I thought the casting of Aunt May was a little weird, I felt uncomfortable with that.
Yeah,
she was a little too young for me.
She was. I'm gonna tell you the same thing. Me and my friends are saying. We were like, you don't even call her Aunt May. That's May. Because Aunt May was looking kind of bright. Even Tony Stark said the same thing. He was like, your aunt is unusually attractive. And I was like, oh, I can see that working out right there.
Yeah.
Like, Peter almost had to start calling him Uncle Tony right there. Because that was about to get a little awkward. But Marissa Tomei, she's 40 years old. Still look like she's in her late 20s. Me and my friends were like, Spider-Man casting was on point. Aunt May casting was on point. Because if you look at every iteration of Aunt May and then look at Marvel,
yeah, she was always, yeah.
Decrepit.
Yeah, they're going to have all the boys coming and men coming up in there now to see that Spider-Man movie. What's next for Marvel? Like, what's the next movie coming out? I know Doctor Strange was to show the trailer for that, but is there anything else? Like, what's following Civil War?
Doctor Strange. They got to push Doctor Strange.
But is there anything like is there going to be a tie-in or a follow-up to the Civil War storyline?
No.
Or are they just dropping other...
No, we're getting Doctor Strange and Thor because they need to go ahead and line us up for Infinity War. Because
so the next thing is the Infinity War.
Yes,
that's what they're working on now.
Infinity War, the two-parter.
So Civil War was just really a standalone movie. So they basically just took a big
your mind off of
story that was in the comics for I forgot how long it ran and condensed it down into this one movie to tell like just the core story of Civil War, and they're not going to stretch it out across multiple movies. Okay,
we got that because the reason they're pushing Doctor Strange so hard is because we need that next Infinity Stone.
Okay.
I think we're missing just one, and that last Infinity Stone is his Eye of Agamotto, the amulet that gives Doctor Strange his powers, the thing that makes him the Sorcerer Supreme. So, after that, all the Infinity Stones will be together. We get Thor. After Thor's movie, he'll come back to Earth. Then Infinity War starts, and you know the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to be in there too. They just confirmed Rocket Raccoon.
Oh, so they changed their mind?
Oh yeah. They're putting them in there.
Okay.
Rocket Raccoon, Jessica Jones, Matt Murdock. They will all be.
They have to.
Yeah.
They have to. The Infinity War was a big deal. Mm-hmm. It was it was a mega event.
Mm-hmm.
If they nail Doctor Strange, I'm done.
They will.
I don't know. He's another one of those weird characters that were okay to read occasionally, but I'm not waiting for the next Doctor Strange issue. It was kind of like Ant-Man. Ant-Man is cool, but
I like that they use the obscured characters because a lot of people don't know about them. So when you use someone like Doctor Strange, you're like, okay, we've been to space, we've been to the past, we've seen all these technological advancements, but we have not seen the spiritual side, the spiritual world of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And the one person who controls all that, Sorcerer Supreme, Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange, after this one, I know who he's going to fight in this one. He's probably going to fight, like, the followers of Dormammu or something. But
I've always liked him when he was, and maybe I just like groups, when he was with the Defenders.
Yes.
So
groups are, I love that they're doing that in movies now. They're bringing the teams, they're making those group numbers, because the Defenders show will be on Netflix. It will be a movie that will feature Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Jessica Jones, and Daredevil, and Punisher. That's a lot of people for that one too. And the fact that they're already signing up for the Infinity War movie. 46 heroes in one movie. 46.
I can't wait.
46, and then we get to see Captain Marvel for the first time in this?
I can't wait.
You can't wait.
There's a guy.
My body is ready.
You said 46.
46.
And I don't know if. I wonder if Warlock is going to be in it.
Adam Warlock?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be in the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. He's one of the new members. Remember, we saw his cocoon in the Collector's.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that. I missed that.
His cocoon was there in the Collector's collection. It was actually right, if you look, right when he's showing them the space gem, it's in a glass case on the far right.
And, oh, I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it then.
Oh, yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is going to be good. And they were like, well, Volume 2 will have nothing to do with Thanos or the Infinity War or anything like that. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. But the Russo brothers already said that you'll see a lot of Thor with the Guardians, which I'm okay with.
Well, all right. I think that'll do it, man. I'm floored. I gotta go see it again.
I saw it twice, and I was like, ooh. Good a second time. I'm gonna have to go see it a third time. Just to be honest, because it was that good. It's that good. And when it comes out on Blu-ray, special edition.
With the extended scenes.